Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Okay. You know what time it is. 8 p.m. on the East Coast, Eastern Standard Time it is. And that is the FSP Crew Show time. I am your host, JT. And I'm joined, as always, by my other Jersey guy, Jeff the Joker. The two J's, Jerry and Jeff, are here once again to give you information and give you conversation about the world of fantasy sports and politics. As always, we got a great, informative, and great show in store for you tonight. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. For those who are hearing impaired or very slow on the copy skills, the number is 347-637-3220. We also have a chat room. If you don't feel like calling in and conversing with us, you'd rather do through the chat, you can do that too. Question, comment, whatever you like, whatever subject, it doesn't make a difference. Bring it on. We'll address it and see if we can answer your question or stimulate the conversation with your input. Without further ado, let's bring in my other Jersey guy. I keep on referring to him, but he is from Jersey. So I got to get Jersey strong, as always. Hello, Jeff. What's up, my man?
Thank you for that introduction, Jerry. I never thought J&J before, because in New Jersey, J&J is usually Johnson & Johnson, which is might be the largest employer in the state. They practically own the Route 1 area.
Right.
And Woody Johnson from that family owned your former team, the Jets, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, big shock. The Jets running back acquisition, Mike Goodson. I know you love hearing about these knuckleheads.
One of the things I want to talk about is the Jets. But go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead. Go ahead.
He looks like he's going to have he's got some legal problems.
Mm-hmm.
Right off the bat, when a guy gets cut by the Raiders, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
Because
they
started with mediocrity, but now they're back to last place. And speaking of that, their former number one pick, Jamarcus Russell, lost 50 pounds, probably because he ran out of money to buy food.
You rare form already, man.
Oh, thank you. I think in the NFL there have been guys, especially at the quarterback position, who've done well with second chances. But you know what, though? The thing is with Russell, I mean, he didn't just play lousy. He couldn't pretend to care. And there was zero improvement at all. I'm trying to think of guys who resurrected their career. I'll give you one a long time ago. Jim Plunkett. I mean, there's plenty others.
Sure.
But the thing is, at least Plunkett did something before he got cut and, you know, ended up as, you know, third string for the Raiders. Russell did nothing with no visible improvement. And, he had the opportunity. It wasn't like it was just 1 year. He had about 3 years, and then they pulled the plug on that. And, and then they give up an arm and a leg for Carson Palmer, and then let him go. Al Davis passed away, but I don't know. I mean, everybody complained about his leadership, but I don't know if it's gotten better since he passed. So, yeah.
Well, I have to do this. I have to say this. When you have a sinking ship and you're trying to fill the hole, it's a big hole, it takes time to fill that hole and bring that ship afloat again. So it's going to take a while. Once you've made bad gaffes over the years, as the Raiders have, especially with draft picks and players, especially with like a player like Jamarcus Russell, who was the quintessential collecting a paycheck. That's about what he was doing. He just collecting pay and really wasn't putting any effort in doing anything to warrant the pay he was getting. And we've heard that story before about him losing weight. I think sometime last year or late part of last year, we heard that he had lost weight, was trying to get back in the NFL, was working out with what's that quarterback from the what's from the 49ers? Jeff Garcia. Yeah, he was supposedly working out with Jeff Garcia. I don't know if he's doing it now, but we'll see what happens. I gotta believe if it looks like a horse, if it sounds like a horse, it must be a horse. And I think usually a horse doesn't change that much. So we'll see what happens on that note. But since we're talking about an NFL and since we're talking about bad ownership, let's talk about, and you had touched on it before, and before I go any further, let's bring in our other co-host, the man from D.C., the one and only, the one that has all kinds of credentials and uses them wisely, published author. I'm pumping my co-host up big time tonight. Black the Bookie, welcome, my man.
What's going on, fellas?
Okay.
Hey, Black, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Okay, speaking of bad ownership, and I'm not talking about Cowboys, not talking about the Giants. I was
about to hop on you if you was going to go there.
I know that.
I was going to say, I know you have Arian Foster out there in that van of yours taking care of that task.
No, I wouldn't do that. I know that. This is what I want to say. We had talked about at the beginning, the very beginning of the show, Jeff to talk about one of the stellar players that the Jets signed over the offseason was Mike Goodson from the Oakland Raiders for 3 years, $6.5 million, who's carried the ball 170-something times for – I think between 600 and 700 yards. Now, to me, that and I'm being sarcastic about that. That warrants $2.5 million a year. Come on. And then he's got all these kind of legal issues. But the reason I'm getting to the Jets, and I'm not hopping on the Jets because I'm a former Jet, but because they've always been, for the last year or so, in the news one way or the other. They're only. I would say only, but their biggest name that's in the Hall of Fame that happens to be the only quarterback that won from the Jets that's won a Super Bowl says his team is about, and I'll go this way. New York Jets owner Woody Johnson said his team is about truth, justice, and the American way. And this Hall of Famer, Joe Namath, said he's not buying it. He said that the franchise has misled its fans about the quality of the team in recent years. And Namath goes on, and he was on a local station, a national station, the WFAN AM on Thursday, which was today. I want to be honest. I think they've been deceptive. The Jets, to be fair, have made an effort to get rid of the circus atmosphere, okay? They've gotten this new general manager, John Isaac, supposed to be well respected in the front office, but Namath said they haven't met at all. I have not been on good terms, and this was a surprise when I read this quote. I have not been on good terms with Mr. Johnson for the last couple of years. Now, this is a Hall of Famer. This is one of the, faces of the franchise. When you equate Joe Namath, world champion of the New York Jets, and the owner hasn't been on good terms, or he hasn't been on good terms with Woody Johnson. And if anyone's noticed, Joe Namath, over the last few months, if not a year or so, has been critical of all types of stupid moves the Jets have made, including what they did with Mike Goodson, including what they more or less did with Tebow, including what they did with, even though he said he thinks Sanchez should be starting, the quarterback circus that was happening last year. He said he's still got a hang up over personal seat licenses. It's greed and it's unfair. So Joe Namath has been downing the Mets for the last year at least. Any of your thoughts on this? And then I'm going to bring in another caller, Jeff, and then Black, and then we'll bring in Mikal.
Okay. You guys know this, but just in case anybody doesn't, you know, I'm from the New York area, but I'm a mm-hmm. Giants fan, not a Jets fan. But being from the New York area, I'm very familiar with Joe Namath. And people I know have been making fun of that guy since I was a kid.
Right.
But there
was a reason, Jeff. Give him the reason why.
But the thing is, you know, and Joe at times has been a buffoon. But the thing is, despite that, he is one of the few Jet Hall of Famers. I mean, Don Maynard is in there, and there's a couple other guys, but they didn't spend the majority of their career with the team. He was an iconic player. Hall of Famer, even though some people thought his stats weren't quite up to par. But larger than life, transcended the sport. I mean, he was, for his era, you know, almost as big as Michael Jordan. I mean, that's how famous he was. That's how charismatic he was. It's unreal. But then, you know, after he retires, goes on to become one of the worst broadcasters ever. Then he tries finding a fountain of youth and a bottle of booze and embarrassed himself really bad. But he did sober up a few years ago. My ex-girlfriend knew Joe Namath when she was a kid through a family business. They used to do some work for the Jets, and they'd see a lot of the old Jets back in the day at his barbecue or something once a year. And she loved Joe. She, you know, was like her boyhood. Her girlhood crush was on Namath. She also said Emerson Boozer was very colorful back in the day. Some of the stuff, like Namath talking about greed. This is a guy who never turned down an endorsement. He did commercials for Brute Cologne, Golden Mustard, The Wiz,
Pantyhose,
Shave Cream. I mean, he literally never turned down a commercial. But I'll tell you, if you can look it up, he was married, he got married, I think, in the 80s. And in the 90s, his wife was nuts, and I think she drove him to drink. And if you read about that story, she just was one of these people who just took and talked and didn't give. And, I think that might have pushed him over the edge. It's really sad. I think she was mentally ill or something. And then she dumps him, you know. And, she loved the money he made.
You talking about the first wife or the second young wife? Which one are you talking about?
The young one. And
oh, really?
She didn't like people always wanting autographs and always wanting to talk to him. But that comes with the territory. But she liked the money that being married to such a legendary person gave. She liked that, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
Drove the poor guy to the bottle.
Sound like sounded like it was attention deficit. She wasn't getting all the attention. That's probably what it was.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she kept changing her name, and they kept moving around. She was, like, addicted to travel. I mean, you can look it up in an old Sports Illustrated. If it's not online, you can go to a library. It makes you, it gives you a lot more sympathy for Broadway Joe. But, I mean, I remember the end of his career, and he was. He was just, he was larger than life. And, you know, he's been a little bit of a joke as, you know, after retiring. But he did so much as a player. As long as, you know, he doesn't kill anybody, he's not going to taint what he did. And I don't think he has any kind of official relationship with the Jets. And, you know, Jim Brown recently reconnected with the Cleveland Browns. When you're a legend like a Joe Namath or a Jim Brown, you're almost guaranteed employment for a do-nothing job. You really are.
Right.
And George Brett just got rehired by the Royals. I think he's going to actually be their hitting coach. But, you know, Joe's got to learn. I mean, you know, okay, he's got his act together now, but, you know, he's got to keep it shut, you know, and it's not going to help him or the team for him slamming the owner. I just, my take on Jets ownership is they got to worry about winning games. Don't worry about winning headlines. And, you know, the Giants keep winning and the Jets keep, you know, pulling publicity stunts. And as long as that's going to be the case, the Giants are always going to be number one and the Jets are always going to be number two. And,
right.
And all the clowning around isn't going to make a difference. You know?
Okay. Hey, Black, what you got to say?
I don't know, man. You go from a guy who goes on TV, oh, Susie Cole, but I just want to kiss you. To talking about a guy who leads the quarterback and the first quarterback probably in NFL history to record a stat for a butt fumble. This whole organization from the top to the bottom is just ridiculous. And there's no way to fix it right now. I don't see it. It's a big circus show. As long as they continue to be a circus in New York, there's nothing really, any moves that are being made up there. They got to just clean house and start fresh. Cause they don't know what they're doing right now. And I see why you left that organization.
Well, thank you there, Black. What about you, Mikal? Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up? Hey, I don't have anything against Joe saying anything. He should say something. You know, I mean, because as long as the Jets be the jokes of the town, they tarnish more of his reputation too. I mean,
they need to ask him to come out of retirement and come play quarterback, really.
Not on those knees, dude. Oh my God, them knees was horrible. Even when he played, them knees was horrible. But I tell you one thing though, he could throw that football. There's no lie about that. And to what Jeff said, he definitely transcended the sport. You know what I mean? He never turned down. Yeah, he right. Never turned down an endorsement or whatever. But he really changed the face of how, you know, football athletes are marketed. You know, he really changed it. He really ushered
right.
in all of that stuff. So yeah, Jeff was spot on when he said he was larger than life and he was like the Michael Jordan. He definitely was, because a lot of these cats now they wouldn't be getting the endorsement deals that they have now if it wasn't for him. So you know, I could attribute a lot of that to him. But the Jets, man, they're a joke, man. I'm happy you left. That was a good move.
Well, you guys criticized me, but I told you there was a reason.
I never criticized you. That was Victor leading that charge.
But I just
Mr.
said, you
FSC
know what?
Himself.
Yeah, I said you have to see what's going on. I'm seeing what's going on, and I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. And it's time to jump off the sinking ship. And I hated to do it. But it had to be done. Sometimes you got to make tough decisions in tough times, and in my opinion, that was the decision to make at the right time. Anyway, Speaking of
wait a minute. I heard Garrard retired.
Yes. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. That's another. I mean, you know, let me put it this way. Over the off season, and I hate to be beating a dead horse, but over this past off season, the Jets signed a player who hadn't played in the NFL in about 2 years, and who was unhealthy and supposedly coming back healthy. And we know now that he wasn't healthy and that he had to retire because of his bad wheels. And then they also hired a guy with questionable signed a guy for a 3-year contract with questionable character issues. And quite naturally, it came out with a DUI and drug and weapons charges. So, and that's pending. We'll see what happens with that. You would think they got a new GM, that new GM supposedly, and he's supposed to be a well-respected GM who's very cautious and very methodical and doing things, would make better decisions with the personnel he got in when he just took the job. Obviously, there's more issues in there than just the GM, or the GM is not all what he's supposed to be. But we'll wait and see for the season to start and what transpires to see if anything that he's possibly have done in the draft will pan out. But what I wanted to also go to is this. We're going to stay in the NFL because there's a few things going on in the NFL that I need to talk about. And one of them is we talked about an icon in the Jets. Let's talk about another icon who had been shunned by the franchise, specifically the president of the organization, who's since been let go. I'm talking about the Cleveland Browns. And Jim Brown, who was unceremoniously pushed out and eliminated by former president Mike Holmgren, when Mike Holmgren took over as the president and eliminated his job, he now has reassumed his responsibilities as a special advisor to the Cleveland Browns. I have to congratulate him for getting back into the organization and for the owner who also got his own issues, legal issues that he's dealing with, Jim Haslam. He made a good move here. I don't know if it's just a PR move to try to deflect some of what's going on with him. But it is what it is. Jim Brown is back within the organization. He's a special advisor who does community work. He interacts with fans, and he helps mentor the Cleveland Brown players. So I think it's pretty significant that he's back in the fold again. He was a little pissed off at the organization, including Mike Holmgren, when he was pushed out. He's now back in it. It seems like he's in good spirits and welcome. He's welcomed back into his home team. You guys have any thoughts of Mr. Jim Brown, who's not afraid to speak his mind at age 77, reunited with the Cleveland Browns? I go to Macau, then Black, and then Jeff.
Propaganda at its finest. You know, I love Jim Brown, but this is propaganda, in the words of my man Black, propaganda and deflection. Yeah, definitely. That man's hands dirty. That man's hands dirty. He dirty, Slim. He dirty.
Okay. Black?
Oh, man. Great move by the Browns, bringing back a great of the game, a great running back. Should be a good mentor for Trent Richardson. It's a good move for the Browns. Whether it's propaganda that's spreading, I don't know, but it's great to see Jim Brown back with the Browns.
Jeffrey.
You know, it's a nice public relations political move for the Browns. Last year, this is funny, that Jim Brown was critical of Trent Richardson. I don't know why. I mean, Richardson, he looked pretty good last year. I mean,
he
didn't look great, but he wasn't a bust. And for some reason, I forget the exact quote, Jim Brown said some things that were not very flattering about Richardson. And I'll tell you, I'd like to – I think somebody in the front office should have a friendly dinner sit-down because you never know. If they hit it off, I don't even think they've ever even met. Brown can make, you know, maybe an interesting mentor for someone like Richardson. But, yeah, you know, I think there was a survey, and a lot of people still think Jim Brown was the greatest football player who ever lived. And it's odd that, you know, he played fullback because that's a position that's kind of phased out now, and not too many fullbacks carried a football. But he wasn't a blocking fullback. He was a running fullback. And, you know, legendary player, and he's done acting and other things and community. He's done a lot of charity work. He had a foundation. I think he was working with ex-convicts and doing a lot of that kind of stuff. And he was a force of nature as a player. You know, when you're that big, you almost have a job for life.
Yep. You're right about that, Jeff. All right. Mikal, please contain yourself. Welcome, Victor, to the show.
Hi, you're going to be like, Mikal, contain yourself. I mean, what the hell type of setup is that for me?
Wait a minute. Victor, you know, I said this for a reason, because every time you guys get on a show, you guys go back and forth furiously. And I'm trying to deflect that to be able to have a civil conversation without you guys happening to go at each other like you do.
Hi, Victor.
Whose fault is that? Victor. I never started. Well, I will say this.
Hi, Victor. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And yourself?
It's wonderful.
It's a pleasure to talk to you yet again. How was the family?
The family's fine. The weather's beautiful out here.
I could say the same here in California. That's stuff all is. All right, look at y'all.
Talk to me.
Based on the topics you guys are talking about, I think Jim Brown being back in the fold is somewhat symbolic. I believe Jeff said that. You know, he's up there in age, but he still has his faculties about him. But a lot of people associate the Browns with Jim Brown. And with the new ownership being nostalgic, you know, he was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, but now he's the owner of the Browns, and he's been in a little bit of trouble and stuff. So he wants to bring a little bit of that old flavor back. So I think what the owner's trying to do is create the dog pound atmosphere again in Cleveland, where they're not going to be a pushover. They went out and got Norv Turner, you know, to boost their offense. The defense was already okay. They're trying to do some things, but like you guys said, when Brown said some derogatory things about Trent Richardson, he was just saying it because he loves his Browns. He loves his Browns, and, you know, he didn't think Trent was capable or ready to take on the role of being the man for the Browns. But having him there is very, very important to the city and the team. Just like with the Green Bay reaching out to Brett. Brett's trying to come around. Green Bay's trying to come around. They're trying to get back together. That would do wonders for the community because, you know, in both situations, both players are beloved players of the team's past, and they want to keep them in that legacy, but you can't have them as a part of that legacy if they're both outcasts, so to speak. So that's what I have to say on that. Can't wait to get to the Canelo Alvarez Floyd Mayweather.
Wait a minute. Just don't rush it. Okay? You didn't have to mention anything. Let me run my show, okay?
I'm sorry.
Thank you very much.
I'm Bart Starr. Can't wait.
Yeah, I know that. I can see that.
Wait a minute.
Mikal, you want to get this man or what? Jesus. You come on here and try to take over my show.
All you got to do is tell him silent. Thank you. There you go. Go ahead, Jerry.
Thank you. Anyway.
I'm looking for the plug on this mug.
Hey, Mekhi, was that the Black Knight?
Wait a minute, you know what? Don't worry about it, Mekhi. I just put the blue mic on him. You know what the blue mic is, right?
Yeah, I know what the blue mic is.
That's all right. Anyway, let me get back here. I want to stay in the NFL, and this is what I want to do. I want to do this. I got to say this because...
Go ahead, get your ass.
Anyway, why are you giving me foul language on my show? Why? Jeff, and Black, don't talk like this on this show. Why are you doing that?
Oh, you know what? Don't pull the bull high ground on me. Go to the next topic. I'm gonna take over the switchboard in a minute. Go.
Are you kidding me?
Anyway, what? Let's move on to a guy that I thought was a good guy. This is an NFL. We're still in the NFL. The lawyer for this security guard alleging battery against MJD says he has a video evidence of a sucker punch. Jones Drew agent said his client was not involved. Not involved in any verbal or physical altercation. The bouncer's lawyer is insisting that is a lie, as he is set up his client for a civil suit and a money grab. His statement: Conch House security video captures Mr. Jones Drew rapidly approaching Mr. Howard, I guess that's the security guard, from the back left side and sucker punching him in the jaw. As a result of this attack, Mr. Howard suffered a dislocated jaw and spinal injuries. Any fair-minded person watching the video has to conclude that Mr. Jones Drew initiated an unprovoked attack on Mr. Howard and then literally ran away from the scene. Sucker punch. Dislocated his jaw, possible spinal injuries, and he ran away from the scene like because Victor started. I'm gonna say it like a bitch. Anybody want to comment?
I started.
let me give Black, and then Jeff, and then we'll go to Victor and your cousin.
When did this take place, though?
This took place a couple days ago. I think it happened over the weekend. If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it did. Yes.
And they blame MJD. I heard MJD didn't get charged with anything yet, though.
Well, let me put it this way. Supposedly charges, they're trying to decide whether they're going to charge him or not. Supposedly when the initial reports came out saying he was going to get charged with assault, but then that initial report changed, and now they're deciding whether to charge him or not. So I guess what's going to happen is that they're going to review all the evidence, including, I guess, the videotape, to see if they have any cause to charge him. So stay tuned. Let me put it that way. Stay tuned.
That's crazy. This is my first time hearing about it. I know he grew his hair in the off season. I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but this is the first time I'm hearing about this.
Wow. Okay. It happened over the weekend, and it happened over the weekend, and it's been floating around there out there for the last few days. He hasn't been.
Has the video been made public?
I have not seen the video. I don't think the video's been made public, but I imagine. You may be able to catch the video somewhere if it's available. I imagine something like this would go viral pretty quickly, but I haven't seen it yet. Jeff, talk to me.
You know, I heard about this. I haven't been following it too closely. Maurice Jones-Drew has been a star for a while. I don't remember him ever being associated with anything like this.
Right.
And when you're in his position, if you pinch somebody, they'd be screaming you put them in a coma. You know what I mean? Because they want to get paid. But if there is videotape that sometimes could be incriminating, I don't think I'll give Jones Drew the benefit of the doubt, innocent until proven guilty. And you know, there's some football players because of that, this kind of nonsense, they don't go out that much. They entertain at home. I'm not kidding. They don't all hang out in the clubs, and part of it is when you go to, you know, the restaurants and the clubs, you know, you get these idiots looking for fights so they can make a few bucks off you. So maybe Jones Drew might start doing a little more entertaining at his home.
Okay. Victor?
Well, Mini Hercules is he's a different type of individual. He's always looking for respect and things of that nature. I'm not saying that this was one of those cases, but if there is video evidence that can substantiate this guy's claim that he didn't provoke him and that he got sucker punched and then MJD ran off, you know, that will hamper his credibility in my eyes as to what he said. I mean, he's the face and the franchise of Jacksonville. You know, Ahmed Khan paid a decent amount of money and wants to build a team around him. So whether it's true or not, it's just like if someone accuses a high-profile athlete of assault, sexual assault or assault, whatever the case may be, some of these guys would rather pay to set the person up, whether it's true or false, just to get the negative spotlight off of. I don't think that this is going to be the case because MJB has, his lawyers have stated that he's going to fight it, and the accusations are unequivocally wrong and incorrect. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, anybody trying to get publicity will do anything. For instance, I'll give you one for example. Right now, we're selling ad space on our shows. If you go to Fiverr.com, and look up FSP Vic, you'll see I'm giving people 20 words for $5 for one mention on any show. You know, I'm trying to get some sponsorship and publicity out of it, so I went to those lengths. This guy has got a high-profile guy there, and he's going to try to get him. That's what Marion Jones said, you know, when she was on the show last Monday. People just kept coming to her and giving her stuff and doing things just because they thought she had money. She didn't have money. Olympians don't get paid crap until they get endorsements. You know, so that's, you got to look, it's men and women that do this to high-profile people, whether they're athletes, superstars, whatever. You know? So if it's true, it's true. If it's false, it's just another case of that bad mojo, spotlight syndrome. That's what I call it.
Mikal, what do you think about what MJD is accused of? And
I don't know. We just going to have to wait this one out. But, you know, he is a little dude, you know, and a lot of them little dudes be having them Napoleon complexes.
Wait a minute. Watch it, man. Watch it now. I'm 5'7", just like MJD. Watch it now.
No, what I was going to say, see Mr. FSP himself, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
but, you know.
Oh, oh.
Dude, I'm taller than you. Go ahead with that.
You is not taller than me, Slim.
Slim, I'm 5'10".
I'm 5'10 and a half. What you talking about?
No, that's what your big head and your hair standing up. You
it
know,
don't matter.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Shots fired.
It don't matter.
Oh, boy.
You know what I'm saying?
Anyway.
You was that
anyway.
OBB, and when you played football, I was that fast wide receiver. So it don't matter to me, Slim. You can bring it.
Yo, Lord. Shut the cowboy R. Kelly ass up and answer the question.
Cowboy? Really? Really?
Oh, man.
One cowboy.
Oh, my God.
One cowboy on this line here right now. Really? Come on, man.
Well,
Anyway.
I think. Excuse me. I think if Jones Drew did it, he'll be in trouble with the owner of the team, so he'll have to deal with the wrath of Khan. It's too easy. It's too easy. And I think one of the reasons that Mr. Khan purchased the Jaguars is, you know, he said he's going to keep them in Jacksonville. Yeah, right, whatever. Is I think he's got an eye on L.A. or maybe even St. Louis if the Rams leave St. Louis. So even though he said he's going to stay in Jacksonville, there's no commitment there. And he's a businessman, just like almost everybody else. So I think it was, you know, he had the money. You know, he's based in Illinois, not far from St. Louis. You know, even if Jacksonville wasn't the most desirable market, it gets his foot in the door. So I think he's got an eye on L.A.
Okay. All right. We're going to stay in the NFL. And I was remiss because I wanted to stay. I wanted to go back with, and this is about the newest, one of the newest members of the Jets, the number one, number two pick of the Jets. Their new quarterback, and I don't know if anybody knows or heard about this. supposedly, Geno Smith is going to be signing with Roc Nation Sports, which happens to be part of Jay-Z's organization. And now the NFLPA is looking to question whether Jay-Z recruited Geno Smith to sign with Jay-Z's firm. Specifically, the PA, the Players Association, wants to know if someone without Players Association certification, meaning Jay-Z, was involved in recruiting a player to sign with an NFL PA certified agent, which is Kim Mealy, who is employed by Jay-Z's firm. So the player was recruited by Jay-Z is saying that he wasn't. This is a quote: Jay-Z didn't recruit me. So the question is, who recruited you then? And this is a quote from Geno Smith. I chose Roc Nation Sports for management because it was something that myself and my family came to a conclusion that we feel comfortable with, and I'm happy to be part of it. Here I'm here to talk about football. That's life outside of football, and what I do in this locker room and on that field is what matters now. Now, the reason I'm saying this, because if anybody goes on Instagram, there's a picture of Geno Smith sitting next to Jay-Z. And now he says he wasn't recruited by Jay-Z and he's going to be part of Roc Nation Sports.
When was
Victor, since you chimed in first about this, I'm going to give you the first dibs on it. Then I go to Black and then McAllen and Jeff.
Well, I think because of the situation, you know, I saw the picture. I heard about the story and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say Geno is, you know, trying to cover up or whatever. Jay-Z is that high profile, and everybody knows that whatever he touches turns to gold. So I would say just on the surface, Geno saw that he could get an opportunity with Jay-Z, be with the rapper Jay-Z, the guy that he listened to and stuff like that, and idolized and be under his management and get some stuff done. But Geno's reaction was kind of short and curt, you know, which was good in the sense that he's saying, look, there isn't a big deal about it. We're here to play football. Let's talk about football. There's an investigation going on. Let the investigation happen. They're not going to find anything. That's what I got from his statement. Now, if it's true, again, these are all allegations, but if they're true, you know, gets another black eye on his credibility and his behavior. You know, he already got a black eye from the NFL for during the draft, you know, getting upset, firing his agent afterwards, and then saying he's not going to stay, and da-da-da-da-da, is just another thing to add to the list of
reasons why Dino shouldn't have been the number one overall draft pick, where they had Ryan Leaf written all over him. You know, so I hope it's not true. But the young man did what I would have did. I'm here to play football. It's not true. Let's move on to football. So that's where I'm at with it.
Talk to me. Who's next?
When was the picture taken?
I don't know where it was taken, but they were together, though.
It doesn't make a difference.
Before the draft?
No, this was probably
right
after the draft, Black.
Oh, it was after the draft, right? Geno Smith is a young guy. You know, I think Geno, once he saw that Skylar Diggins got the bends from Jay-Z, he knew he was going to go ahead and come on home and sign for Jay-Z. He's a very influential guy. I don't know why the NFL is always looking into it. Jay-Z has the same problems with the NBA. This music guy is getting involved with this sports stuff now. There's always the extra scrutiny. So I think Geno will come out of this okay, though.
Okay. Mikal.
Man, this is an exercise in stupidity. I mean, really.
Hey.
I'm serious. This is a serious exercise in stupidity. I mean, I don't know all the ins and outs of this investigation, but common sense would tells me that he wasn't recruited by him. I mean, the dude just fired his agent. I mean, he just fired his agent. You know what I'm saying? He showed you who was in control. He was. And he picked who he wanted. So this is just stupid, man. This is just stupid. Real stupid. Again, the NFL doing dumb ass.
Well, this is not the NFL. This is the Players Association.
Oh, even
the people that are there.
You know, you talking about the NFL Players Association, the same ones that missed out on calling out collusion, who signed on for collusion and then missed out on it and played themselves and coming from behind that NFL Association?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
All right. That makes it even worse.
You know,
Jeffrey.
There were some very powerful agents in sports, and I think some of them might have issue with Jay-Z.
Yeah, there you go.
He's competition. He's the new guy.
Thank you,
et cetera, et cetera. I mean, Jay-Z has been very successful in the business world in addition to, you know, being successful in music. But I'm sure he has the appropriate people doing contracts because all I could think of is, who's that guy's name? Master P did Ricky Williams' first contract, and Ricky Williams got royally screwed on that. But this isn't Master P. But, I mean, the appeal of someone like Jay-Z is, you know, they're not just going to do your contract. There's all that, the marketing and the advertising and all that stuff. You're connected. I mean, this guy Smith, he could throw the rock. But he fell apart about halfway through last season. And I hate to say it, but I'll document it. I don't think he's cut out to play in New York because New York fans are brutal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
I don't know if he's cut out for that, but the Jets got a bargain on him in the second round. But believe me, he'll throw his first incomplete pass. They'll be throwing beers at him, you know.
Okay.
Tough fan.
Yes, it is. All right. Now, there's another thing. I want to move from the NFL to an article, and this is just a crazy article, but I have to bring it up to see how ridiculous things can get.
Is this the Bill Simmons article?
Excuse me?
Is this the Bill Simmons article?
Are you kidding me?
No. I'm talking about this, and let me read this article to you because I know probably most of you, if not all of you, haven't heard about this one, but this is pretty crazy. When I read it, I couldn't believe it. At a time when college athletics is overrun with rogue agents, unscrupulous coaches and handlers who exploit athletes for money, it's reassuring to know not every unrepentant rule breaker goes unpunished. This is about the NCAA. Hearty congratulations to the NCAA for penalizing a student athlete from a West Coast Conference school for the unspeakable crime, check this out, of washing her car with the university's water and hose. Portland basketball coach Eric Rivino tweeted about the violation Wednesday after he learned of it during conference meetings, punctuating his message with the hashtag stop insanity. A spokesman for the WCC did not know any further details, but a source familiar with the circumstances revealed what happened. A WCC school self-reported an extra benefits violation when university officials, quote, one of their woman golfers washing her car on campus. A secondary violation was ruled to have occurred because the water and hose were not available to regular students and requested the golfer pay back $20, which was deemed to be the value of the water and use of the hose. I'm not going to go on any further, but it seems like that she got penalized they got penalized for a student athlete, a woman's golfer, for using water and a hose to wash her car. Talk to me, guys. Is this crazy or what? I mean, it's a trivial story, but it just goes to show you how stupid the NCAA is. I'll go to Jeff, then Mikal, then Victor, and then Black.
Man. $20, that's a super deluxe car wash. You know, that's pretty steep. I mean, I get my car washed for, like, I think $6 or $7. That's pretty steep. She's lucky she didn't get a bagel with cream cheese, because then they would have got the death penalty. Because Jerry, I think, was, I hear Black laugh, and I think Jerry was amused by the time, and you can look it up, that if to the families of student-athletes, the colleges could serve bagels, but no cream cheese. Butter, but no cream cheese.
Yep.
I'm not kidding. This is the kind of rules they have. And
yep.
I don't know about you guys, but I live for Temp Tea, like that whipped cream cheese, you know? That's the best stuff in the world. And to think that, you know, that they would have silly rules on stuff like that. I'm sure the paperwork alone on this minor infraction probably ran into the thousands. They really need to kind of streamline that rule book a little bit. And I think that's what people are pushing for.
Victor.
Nah.
Oh, Mikal. Oh. I'm sorry, Mikal.
Yeah, it was Mike.
Go ahead.
It was Mike and me.
Yeah, Mikal, go ahead.
Definitely not surprising to me. The NCAA we really should take torches to them. We should have took torches to them years ago. But as long as people are going to continue to watch, you know what I'm saying, and support the NCAA, I mean, you know, they're going to continue to do the same things that they've been doing over and over again. Doesn't surprise me at all.
Victor.
Well, I saw this story, I think it was earlier today when I went to work, and I pulled up Internet with Yahoo. I think that this is, and you guys won't be surprised I'm saying it, but I think it's a sign of slavery that these kids.
Wow, the company guy really comes out now. Oh my goodness. Unbelievable.
Shut up.
Go ahead, Victor.
But, the NCAA wants to act as if they own these kids, and they own anything and everything that they do.
They do.
They're the slave masters, and these guys are the slaves because they're getting an education and things of that nature. So a trivial thing such as using water from a building that belongs to the school. So what happens if they got to wash their clothes in the building that's owned by the school? Are they, since they got to pay for it, is that considered a violation as well?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I just, I feel the same way you do. Not exactly all completely, but this is a little bit on the ridiculous side. Talk to me, Black.
Oh, I have no comment on this story. The NCAA rule book is too long and complicated for me to even digest. The bagels and locks story is a true story. If you don't want the death penalty, no bagels and locks. But I won't comment on this one.
No problem. All right. Let's go this way. We got about 3 minutes left in the show, give or take. About 4 minutes left in the show. The boxer, Victor loves so much, the one who happens to be undefeated, the one who happens to talk and walk the game he plays in the ring, talking about Floyd Mayweather, is going to fight Mr. Canelo Alvarez on September 14th in the MGM Grand Theater in Las Vegas, Nevada. That's all I have to say. Your thoughts on it. I'm going to Macau, then Black, Jeff, and then Victor.
He would come to me first. Damn. I'm pretty surprised at the weight that they're going to be coming in at, which gives a sizable advantage to Canelo Alvarez. And I'm pretty shocked that Mayweather didn't force him to come down to 151. I got to read up some more, but it looks like they're going in at 154.
152.
Oh,
they come in okay, so that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
But before you go any further, he said, and this is a quote from him: Canelo can come in at 200 pounds if he wants to. He'll get his butt whipped. That's what Mayweather's co-manager Leonard Ellerbe said the other day.
Honestly, at the end of the day, it really does not matter. You know what I mean? Even if he came in, even if the weight was 154, Mayweather's just too fast for Canelo. He's just way too fast and way too skilled for him. It's just that, you know, just the size, you know, the size and him, you know, just trying to brute Mayweather, which, you know, mm-hmm. which doesn't work. You know, we've seen it time and time again that it's not going to work. And I don't believe it's going to work with Alvarez. I don't think he has enough skill, or he's not the type of fighter that can defeat Mayweather. So we'll see the same thing that we've seen over the past 10 years. No, I'm sorry, 17 years with Mayweather in this fight. Same thing.
All right, Black.
I don't know. There's a lot of different dynamics with this fight. I mean, we all were hoping for Mayweather and Pacquiao earlier. This is when Mayweather wasn't signed with Showtime. Now Mayweather signs with Showtime, and now instantly we have two great fights off the bat, one with Guerrero, which he unfortunately destroyed. And now he's fighting Canelo Alvarez, the top contender. I'm not sure if they lost money on the past fight with Guerrero, but this seems to be a quick fight that was made. And I'm thinking Showtime is trying to look to recoup some of that money, because I heard that they lost about $12 million off the Guerrero fight.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So for them to step in and make this contract this quickly was a surprise to me. I don't know if Showtime's handlers put the pressure on Mayweather to say, not to duck this one. We need this for the numbers. We need this for pay-per-view. This will be a huge fight, because after this fight, there's nothing on the horizon.
There's nothing there.
Yeah, Matisse and Garcia, I mean, you could try to sell Mayweather and Matisse. You could try to sell Mayweather and Garcia. Those are not interesting fights. Even though I would like to see Matisse and Mayweather, but after this fight, there's not much left out there. So I was surprised this fight was made so quickly. But being as though Mayweather is pound for pound king, he's going to talk the talk. He's going to tell you and come in at 200, 300 pounds. The last guy I remember Mayweather fighting at this size was Baldomir. Baldomir came in at about 160, 170 when he fought Baldomir. Baldomir was just too slow for Floyd. Canelo, he definitely has punching power, but this is going to be a tricky fight, Canelo. I think he should have took this fight a little bit later on down the road, but the young kid has nothing to lose. They're both undefeated. It's not going to be a bad blemish on Canelo's record if he does lose this. If he's going to host major fights after this, I just think the fight is too quick for him. But we'll see Mayweather's match on display here again.
All right. Jeff.
Me or Jeff?
You know, I don't follow boxing too close. I mean, Mayweather's obviously an incredible fighter, but I don't know. You get to the point where a guy, there's only so many weight classes you can move up. I mean, this guy started as, what, super featherweight, and now he's, what's he going up to, 152 for this? I don't know, but I guess, you know, boxing, they need big fights. They need, a great fighter to stay active, and hopefully for the fans, this will be a good fight and not a disappointment.
All right, Victor.
All right.
The last word.
I think it's going to be a pretty good fight. There are several things that I see that Canelo's going to come in probably about 170, 175, somewhere in that area, which is a huge, sizable advantage. And he seems to slow down after the sixth or seventh round. I can see Floyd ducking and diving and bobbing and weaving until Canelo gets tired out and then trying to tee off on him. But
you there, Victor? Did I lose Victor again? Hello, Victor. Hello, anybody.
I think what he was going to say is that Canelo has punching power. So, you know, look at Canelo's fights. Canelo, he's good for the first six rounds. He throws combinations. But if you really dissect Canelo, he's really throwing punches for about a minute and 30 in each round. And after the sixth round, he tends to get gas. He can take a
right
punch. So this is going to be very interesting.
Right. But I can't see him defeating him. You gotta have speed, and you gotta have a fair amount of skill to deal with Mayweather. I don't think that the whole punching and power, and I don't think he got it. He not ready for this. Alvarez ain't ready for this. He gonna see something he never seen before. It'll be the same deal.
Okay. All right. Well, that concludes this edition of the FSP Crew Show. You guys, before we get out of here, I want to give you guys an opportunity to have some parting words. And we're going to go to Jeff first, then Black, and then end it all with Macau.
Well, it's been a fun show, and thanks for joining us, and everybody tune in next week. Take care.
Black.
Yes, you people that will continue to go ahead and enjoy the flopping known as the NBA playoffs.
Right, I didn't get to that. I wanted to.
I'm patiently waiting NFL football season. I have an exciting slate of boxer fights coming up, so I look forward to reporting that for you guys and getting back to you. Everybody enjoy the NBA flopping playoffs if you can.
Macau.
It was a good show, gentlemen. I want to thank y'all for allowing me to come in here and share my opinions and rag at my cousin like I normally do. And I will happily take one last shot at him with him not being here because, you know, I love him so much. Yeah, Victor, I'm taller than you, and I'm faster than you, and I'm smarter than you. Yeah, all that.
With that being said, what Black has talked about with the flopping, I guarantee you tomorrow on a 7 p.m. show called No Chaser with me and Mac, we will be talking about LeBron and company, especially Mr. LeBron flopping, and also fouling out for the guy. This is like whoever he fouled out last game. So we're definitely going to be talking about that tomorrow at 7 p.m., the No Chaser show. Also, tune in on Saturday, 1 p.m., the FSP show. On Sunday, 10 a.m., the Master Plan with myself. On Monday, 7 p.m., be the timeout with Sylvia Crawley. And then back here again, once again, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the FSP Crew Show. And we can't, we would be remiss not to let Macau promo his show on here. Talk to me, Macau.
Each and every Tuesday night we get it in, you know, Grown Soul, the real talk, the home of soulful social commentary for grown people. Hit us up there. We're there every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or check us out on Facebook. That address is facebook.com/grownsoul. Again, the conversation never stops there. Scroll through the many links and add your 2 cents in. We appreciate it. Hey, Jerry, keep
yes.
my number on your speed dial, Slim, in case, you know, somebody don't show up on a Friday night. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, call me up and let me know, because I checked out the show the last time, and I was like, oh, dang, you played a repeat. Dang.
Right. This is your home phone number, right?
Yeah. You can always
catch me. Okay, I got it.
You can always catch me on this number.
Not
your number is now in possession of the FBI.
Stop.
Dude.
Stop. Anyway,
dude,
with that, all that being
dude,
said...
I work for the Department of Defense. They got all my information. Slim. They probably listening now, so it don't matter.
With that, all that being said, gentlemen, enjoy tonight's game. Enjoy the weekend. Until we speak again, probably Macau tomorrow or Saturday, or maybe even Sunday. Who knows?
Somebody send me a text and tell me what the score is of the game, because I haven't tuned in to watch any of these sloppy playoffs.
Okay, I'll do that. No problem. Anyway, with that being said, thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Macau. Thank you, Black, for joining me tonight. And as always, when we leave here, you've been listening to...
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy, sports, and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy, Sports, and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy, Sports, and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy, Sports, and Politics Crew. Fantasy, Sports, and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.